2 Kings and chapter number 11. This is not the first time that I have preached from this passage in my 30-some years of ministry. It's not the first time I've addressed this church, but as far as I can tell, it's been a long while since I did, and this burden is on my heart, and I want to challenge you once again with God's help. I never want to bore you. I never want to waste your time. I tell you that what I'm about to preach to you from this text, I believe with all my heart, is of utmost importance. I'm convinced that probably most of you do as well. I think, however, we sometimes let it slide and we don't devote ourselves to its importance. There are two or three ways that I could title the message. The first would be hiding the heirs of the kingdom in the house of God. Hiding the heirs of the kingdom in the house of God. Another simpler way, perhaps, is to say it this way: keeping the promise alive. And finally, and this one did not originate with me, but others have spoken on this text or written of this text and used this title: if Jehoshaphat doesn't get him, Athaliah will. If Jehoshaphat doesn't get him, Athaliah will. Perhaps you'll understand those titles in just a moment as we read this text and begin our exploration. Beginning in verse number 1, 2 Kings chapter 11. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son, that is Ahaziah, was dead, she arose. And listen to these very sad and tragic words. And destroyed all the seed royal. She had the children that were heirs to the throne put to death. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, that's the king who was just slain, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah. Here's one of the royal seed. Here's a boy, son of the king, who's now dead, who has a line to the throne of Judah. She took him and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. The language might suggest to us that in the haste to slay them, he survived somehow and she found out about it or recognized it and she took him from among them. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be that she knew what was afoot and she quickly got to Joash and took him. But she took him and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And then he gave them instructions. We won't read the next several verses, but let's go to verse number 11. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, that's the boy, Joash, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar of the temple, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" If you were to read back a little bit, I'm not done reading yet, but if you were to read back a little bit, you know, Athaliah influenced her husband, Jehoram, to kill all of his brothers. And then she attempts the murder of all of her grandchildren who are in line for the throne. Who do you suppose is committing treason in this account? And be instructed and be wise, O people of God, that the world will call you a fool. The world will accuse you of treason against humanity for taking a stand for truth and right. But let me tell you, the accusation is better fitted on their side of the equation. We're committing treason against their Creator and against right and against truth. So we find an instructive story here, but she's crying treason because she doesn't get her way, because her will has been thwarted. She wants to rule, and this was a rival to her desire to hold power. This was a rival to the throne she sought and plotted to hold. But verse 15 says, Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest hath said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there she was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat upon the throne of kings of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house, 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. Jehoash is an heir to the throne. In God's appointment, he is to be trained and to take the throne of Judah, where God has promised that there would never fail a seed of David to sit upon the throne. But Athaliah wants to thwart the plan of God. She desires to reign and to hold power. And so she, with murderous intent, has all of the grandchildren slain. But because of the intervention of someone named Jehosheba, Jehoash, or Joash, either way, is spared and is reared or raised inside the temple in the presence of the worship and service of God until age 7, when he is installed upon the throne. I want to challenge you, church, afresh and anew, to appreciate the value of ministries to children, to appreciate the value of those who, in Bible language, really don't know their right hand from their left, so to speak. They have no wisdom or skill or have no means of defending themselves, and yet they are part of the plan of God. He ordained their life. He designed them, and he has a purpose and a plan. And there are those in this world who reject the plan of God, who want to take advantage of their opportunities and have no compulsion to deliver children to the sword or to deliver children unto death. Unless we are living with our head buried in the sand, we have to know that the culture in which we are raising our children is not necessarily a culture that is going to protect them. And it is a culture in many cases that is ready to sacrifice them, either before they leave the womb or after they've left the womb, in many ways are seeking to destroy them or captivate them or at the very least decapitate them from the possibility of serving the God whose image they were created in. I want to challenge you to follow the example of Jehoshaphat this morning. Because if Jehoshaphat doesn't get Joash, Athaliah will. She is intent on destroying all of the royal seed. And unless somebody recognizes what's going on and intervenes, that royal seed is destroyed. Hence the term keeping the promise alive, because God made a promise, and this one seed remaining is in the promise of God needing to be on the throne, whether 70 years of age, 17 years of age, or 7 years of age, where we see him on the throne. I would also say we should be instructed by the ability of young people who are properly surrounded by counselors and by wisdom and by influence that is godly, the opportunity or the ability of those children to excel beyond what we normally would expect of a 7-year-old child. He takes the throne at 7. Now, I understand and you understand that he wasn't ruling alone and he didn't make decisions alone, but he was able to be put on the throne and was respected and was given loyalty because that's the plan of God. Both Athaliah and Jehoshaphat understood that today's children are tomorrow's leaders. They both knew and understood the potential and importance of children. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we look at children as merely the occasion of much laughter. And I would suggest to you that any time you are down and discouraged or sad or find it hard to smile or laugh, take a quick course on how to use a computer, unless you already have one. And just go in and Google children or videos regarding children. There are abundance of them. And they will make you laugh so hard that you will probably cry before you're done. But there is a great deal of laughter. But children are not just the occasion of laughter and the occasion of joy. They have a future that is no laughing matter. And a future that's being shaped now as they're young. And we must commit ourselves afresh and anew, whether as a parent, whether as a pastor, whether as a principal, whether as a teacher, whether as an uncle or an aunt or a brother or a sister, we must commit ourselves anew to hiding the children in the house of God, in teaching them the fear of God, in separating them from the influences of those whose hearts are evil and who only think of destruction and in terms of their own gain and their own ascendancy. That means you may have to turn off the TV once in a while. That means you may have to put the games away. That means that you may have to limit their overnight stays in the house of a friend or limit the company that they keep or govern or judge the company that they keep. If I were to ask you to think with me about Jehoshaphat, there are some things that stand out to me. Number one, her awareness. She was aware, alert to the potential danger that Joash faced. She wasn't too busy to pay attention to what was happening to the children. She became aware. I would suggest to you that we ought to be challenged as to how often we are occupied with the work of children's ministry. How often we think about them. How often we're burdened about them. How often we find a way to pay attention to what's going on in their lives. I would suggest to you that every time you have an opportunity as a child of God who knows the Lord and mature believer, you ought to pat them on the head. You ought to shake their hand. You ought to greet them with a smile. You ought to say their name. You ought to ask them, how you doing? You ought to be willing to stop and play with them a little bit and talk to them a little bit. And you ought to be willing to talk to them about the things of God. Ask them how they're doing, and are they learning Scripture, and do they love the Lord, and talk to them about how you love the Lord and how important He is in your life. I'm not going to take the time this morning other than just to remind you, but when we read the Bible, we know that the singular characteristic of the hatred of Satan against humanity has always been focused on children. The very first boy born to man and woman in this world was a focus, I believe, of Satan's attack. Though we don't see that, we don't actually hear of Satan's involvement, but we know that Cain decided to disobey the counsel of God regarding the offering of sacrifice and to substitute his own will. So he was a rebel against God's way, and I believe that was under the influence of the same one who influenced his mother and dad to forsake the counsel of God and to take matters in their own hands and eat the fruit in the midst of the tree. And so he begins with the very first child, and that child becomes a murderer because Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And then over and over again, culminating in Revelation chapter 12, where John sees the vision of the woman and the dragon, and the woman is getting ready to give birth. It's a picture of the nation of Israel and the birth of Jesus Christ. And the dragon is waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born. And we know who the dragon is because in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us it's that old serpent, the devil, who's a deceiver and a liar. And when it came time for God to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, he needed a deliverer. In order to stop or thwart the fulfillment of God's plan for a deliverer, Satan, motivating Pharaoh to order the slaughter of all the boys, all the babies born, so that the deliverer would not be born, but God saw to it that a Hebrew mother took her baby boy and put him in a little ark, a little boat made from bulrushes, and put him out and preserved him or hid him from the king and saw to his preservation. But why were so many babies killed? Because that's what Satan does. Satan knows the future is in the hands of children, and he knows that God raises up deliverers for his people from children. He knows that God raises up missionaries and inspires preachers from children, and so he is interested in destroying them, ruining them, influencing them from the very earliest point possible. And then God is going to send the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And Herod hears that one has been born king of the Jews, and having inquired of the time of that birth, he then gives instruction that all the baby boys, 2 years of age and younger, are to be put to death. That's the murderer. I hope this morning I don't have to labor any further to convince you that the enemy of God, the enemy of mankind, starts with children. And all throughout history, you'll read the testimonies, the verbal records of those who would rule the world, those who would take the place of God, and they talk about the importance of reaching the children, of indoctrinating the children, of separating the children from their parents, of separating their children from the Sunday school and from godly instruction. They all, to a character, say the same thing. They understand Would we go on day after day not understanding? Would we go on day after day not appreciating the value of guarding our children and hiding them in the house of God and hiding them under the influence of the words of God? We would be fools if we did. So she's aware. She understands something has to be done. Then I notice her courage. You're not going to be able to intervene here unless you're willing to risk your life. This Athaliah is no one to be trifled with. She's the daughter of Jezebel. And Jezebel was an exceedingly wicked woman. And Athaliah's murderous intent is not going to stop. And obviously when she finds out her plan has been thwarted and she cries treason, treason, she's still attempting to take control of the situation. Jehosheba had to know that she's going to go against family here. They were related. I'm not going to go into all the details. You can go read it. But they're related. And she has to go against family. And she has to risk her own life and her own safety. And risk the safety of the priesthood and the house of God. She is willing, however, to take the risk. Why? Because she appreciates the value of an heir to the kingdom. She appreciates God's plan. And she understands the value and importance of that child. And she's willing to do something. Can I read you something I one time found and read and it impacted my heart? Once upon a time, a church was looking for a worker, for children, for youth. Actually, they were looking for workers for children and youth. But they said, the workers said, we don't want to leave the sweet fellowship of our adult class. And then in the background was heard the voice of the drug pusher who said, not even the threat of time in jail will keep me from working with your children. As the church continued to look for workers, they responded, well, Pastor, I could never give up the time to plan or prepare or attend teachers' meetings. But the dope pusher, the porno dealer, the movie producer said, hey, we'll work overtime and stay open whatever hours are necessary to influence the minds of your children. Those who are being recruited to work in the work of the ministry said, but Pastor, I'm unsuited, I'm untrained, I'm unable to work with children and youth. But Hollywood said, we will study and we will spend money and we will survey the needs to produce whatever motivates and turns the children on. So the adults all stayed in their classes, went out of town on the weekend and did whatever was necessary to avoid meetings, and the children stopped coming to church. I'm telling you this morning, if Jehosheba doesn't get them, Athaliah will. Will you be as Jehosheba? Will you ask God today, what can I do to influence the next generation? Who would you lay upon my heart to take under my wing and begin the process of sheltering them from the evil influence of Athaliah? The one who would murder the plan of God, the one who is callous about life and about possibility and only sees the children as a tool to an end? Would you ask God to burden you, to give you some conviction, to give you some compassion, and the courage to face whatever dangers are inherent with standing in the way of Athaliah, standing in the way of a world that wants to destroy them? I cannot speak with total, what's the word I'm looking for, with total comprehension, total understanding of what our government has recently passed by way of legislation, but it has been relayed that the recent family law legislation that the government led by our prime minister has recently passed and adopted is a legislation which effectively looks at the parent and the family and the home and, yea, I would suggest even the church, that opposes or tries to instruct children that they are either a boy or a girl, if the child suggests that they wish to be otherwise or feels otherwise, and you interfere and you will not allow them to pursue the course that they want, they will step in, render you an unfit parent, and will charge you under this law with child abuse. Who is the child abuser? Who was the treasonist in this passage? It's going to cost you something to stand. It's going to cost you something to protect children. Now, Jehosheba wasn't public and noisy about it. She stole him away. She quietly, unobtrusively went about the business of taking this young boy and putting him under the wing of protection and hiding him from evil influence till such time. And she was willing to spend time and energy and perhaps resources, because 6 years he dwelt there. 6 years they had to carry this out. There was some cost. There was some commitment involved. So I'm not telling you to be brash. Don't draw attention to yourself. But I'm telling you, you need to understand that the one who is the motivator, don't look at the individual like our prime minister or any of the others involved in the governmental agencies who carry out the edicts of government. Don't look at them alone, but look beyond them to the one who is motivating them. Who is the one who's the author of the spirit of this world? Who is the original murderer? Who's the one who hates the children? Who's the one that's always stirred up various people throughout time to act against the interests of the home and act against the interests of the children? It's the devil. And you need to hate the devil, and you need to know who he is. And so we don't need to demonize men, but we need to understand the importance of protecting our children, loving them, surrounding them with God's grace. In the city of New York, none of you are unaware of the scope and size of such a city. Sat a judge for many, many years. And in the time of his years, in this particular bench, he was party to sentencing 2,700 young people, children, to a reformatory life. Here's his statement. Upon examination and questioning, I learned that not a single one of those 2,700 young people was a member of any kind of Sunday school or Bible class. Not a single one. Lee Baxton, businessman, who served as a city mayor for 3 years, had a standing offer in which he offered to pay the court cost of anyone convicted of a criminal offense if that person could show that they had attended Sunday school regularly in the past year. He presided over what was called the mayor's court, and he heard 2,400 cases, and never once did he have to make good on his offer to pay the court costs. Evidence strongly supports that a Sunday school, a church ministry, a Bible club, a kids club makes a profound difference in the outcome of the lives of young people. I'm begging you, church, reconsider. I'm begging you, think about it. I'm begging you, pray about it. If you can't get involved in actively shielding them, then at least every day, bow your knees before the God of heaven and name the names of those who are on the front lines, who teach the classes, who govern the school, who invest their time and their energy. Pray for them by name and plead for the children by name, because if Jehosheba doesn't get him, Athaliah will. The Sunday school and a Christian school and a Bible class and a Bible club may not be the cure-all for our society, but there can be no doubt in any reasonable mind that regular attendance in a church or a Bible setting will prove to be a serious hindrance to crime in the lives of children. You all know the story of Edward Kimball, Sunday school teacher. Had a boy in his class named Dwight Moody. He missed class, and so Mr. Kimball went to visit him, found him at work in a shoe shop. Led him to Jesus Christ, Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody said, "I felt totally unqualified to work with adults." So he began to work with children at his own cost, out of his own pocket. He rented city buses and began to build a Sunday school ministry out of which multitudes were saved. Multitudes surrendered to full-time service. Multitudes went to the mission field, and a Bible college in his name was started, and other Bible colleges started, all as a result of the passion of one man to work with children. It can be done. Those of you in children's ministries here at New Testament Baptist Church, you are the modern day Jehoshabas. You have a God-given privilege. Please do not look at your work as a work of babysitting. Don't look at it as merely providing activity time and watch for the clock to get to the top of the hour so you can get back to your television set program or so you can get back to your rest. But look at it as a God-given opportunity to influence the future and to build homes and to build families and to keep children in the will of God and in love with God. This is eternal business with eternal significance that has a profound impact in the present and in the future. I beg you, do it with all your heart and your mind and your strength. Not everybody feels that way about young people. Paul references to Timothy that there are people who despise youth. He said, "Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." I hope you don't despise. The word despise literally means to look down upon, to count as insignificant. Do you remember the reaction of David's brethren when he went to fight Goliath, when he challenged that foul-mouthed giant who was blaspheming the name of his God? They said, "You're just a lad. With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" They disdained him as a boy, as a youth. Who slew Goliath? It was God, but through the hand of David, a young man. The giant himself laughed, sneered, and said, "Am I a dog that you come out here to fight with me with stones and sticks?" What's your attitude towards young people? You know, Jehoshaphat could have looked at that and said, "This woman influenced her husband to kill all of his brothers. And now she has supervised the killing of all of her grandbabies. What difference is one more going to make? She's determined. How am I going to fight the system? How am I going to fight this? It's just not possible. It's beyond me." But aren't you glad she didn't? She took the chance. She was courageous and committed. I wonder, will you be a Jehoshaphat? Blessed are they who love the children with all their heart, for they shall be rewarded with hugs and smiles. Blessed are they who have planned and prepared their lesson to teach the children, for their children shall be interested and attentive. Blessed are they who arrive early to welcome the children with a warm and loving smile, for they will never be forgotten. Blessed are they who get to know the children and their homes, for they shall be able to minister more effectively and profitably. Blessed are they who respect each child's personality and seek to meet them at their level of maturity, for young lives shall give a great harvest of benefits in the years to come. Blessed are they who bear witness to boys and girls week after week of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, for they shall see them saved, growing, and prospering in the knowledge and service of God. Let's hide the heirs of the kingdom in the house of God and never forget that Athaliah exists. She's motivated by someone else who is a murderer from the beginning. And she will get them if we don't. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray. Father,